Okay, and we're live. Welcome to another episode of The Market Made Easy with the Maxwell Group at Bloomtree Realty. I'm Kellen Hoskins. This is Carissa Maxwell, and we are joined today by the Prescott City Manager. Michael, how are you today?
Good, Kellen. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We thought we'd think outside the box a little bit and and really go for a different perspective. You know, we often talk directly about the real estate market here in the Prescott area. But we also know that government, you know, town government has a big impact on that.
There's no doubt about it.
And so we really do appreciate you coming in and bringing the perspective on there. And I think that a question that's on a lot of people's mind sometimes is, what is your job? We know your title, but what is your job?
Well,
I think it's misunderstood.
It is misunderstood. And a lot of it, I think, is, you know, you watch a lot of TV and you see the mayor's running a natural disaster for the city of New York, or the mayor's of LA's handling an earthquake event, or those types of things. And those types of models are valid in those kinds of cities. But there's a couple different versions of local government, not to be too much of a wonk about all this, but you can either have a strong mayor where he or she goes and kind of makes all the decisions and runs the day-to-day operations. He or she is the CEO, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Or you have a city manager form of government where the mayor has slightly more power than the rest of the council. In our case, he has the ability to set the agenda. But the mayor and council, other than that, have about the same powers, and they turn over the running of the government to a professional city manager.
Okay.
So a professional city manager usually has an academic background in something like public administration, which is basically the equivalent of an MBA, but with a local government or government focus. And then the manager runs the day-to-day operations. And the council only really has authority over the manager, and then the manager has line authority over the rest of the employees.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? Or?
For the most part.
For the most part.
Okay. So you are kind of in charge of, you know, you help hire or in charge of hiring, you know, other city employees.
Correct.
Or you oversee those departments as well.
So the way we were structured, the council has four direct reports: myself, the city manager, the city attorney, the city judge, and the city clerk.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's 490 odd additional employees. And unless they work in one of those other departments, as I just referenced, they work for me.
Okay.
So, like, the parks director works for me, the roads and bridges director, the public works director, the planning folks, the community development folks, the building inspectors. So all those people will report to the manager. And if the council's dissatisfied with something that's happening in local government, they have the ability to hire and fire me and the other three people I referenced, the city attorney, the city judge, and the city clerk.
Okay, and this isn't exactly your first rodeo. You've been at this for almost 20 years.
Yeah,
right?
It still feels like I'm one of the young guys, but I'm not anymore. Although when you go to these ICMA is the International City Managers Association, I am still kind of on the young side.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess I'm a mid-career professional, which sounds kind of lame at this point. But it is what it is, right? And there actually is a dearth of people behind me in my field. Local government can be a tough gig. You basically serve at the will of seven elected officials or five elected officials, depending on the size of the elected body. And, you know, if they don't like the color of your hair one day, or in my case, maybe the beard's too long, four of them decide they want to fire you, that's the end of the gig.
Oh, so, okay. So
not a lot of job security. The average tenure of a manager is 5 to 7 years.
Okay. So you've been, you've acted as city manager in cities in Georgia and in Florida. Were those towns bigger or smaller?
No, they were smaller. My first job was in a community, Trenton, Florida, that was just about 2,000 residents. And I got the job when I was 27. I don't know what they were thinking, given the keys to their small city to a 27-year-old. But in any case, it was a great experience, because when you run an organization that's a full-service city at that size, we did have a police department, and we had a water and wastewater treatment plant. You learn a lot about a lot. You
know? So it wasn't exactly Mayberry.
It was anything but Mayberry. It was in the Big Bend of Florida, and it was the section of Florida that's still very southern.
Okay.
and it was an interesting gig. It really was.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of what city managers do. I'm obviously in support of the city manager form of government. My hope is that the decisions are made because you have a professional manager. They're more professional. There's a little less politics involved. You don't ever get the politics totally out because obviously you work for elected officials.
Yeah, you can't. You're working for elected officials.
But, you know, one of the things with your industry that I identified pretty early on, and I think I've made some changes, and they were easier to make being a city manager than they would have been being an elected official. Some of our building inspection and the timeline and about getting permits out the door. And we've had some good meetings with some folks in the development real estate community, mm-hmm. about things we need to do better. Have you had some frustrations about that with the city?
I honestly, personally, no, but I think that I've heard chatter of things that, didn't go as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Things that maybe, you know, could have, taken a shorter amount of time to complete. But I mean, at the same time, I think a lot of us don't have a frame of reference.
So you have nothing else to really compare it to.
Right. Yeah. And so that's what I know about that.
Okay.
Don't mind me. Keep talking. We're having a minor technical.
No problem.
Yeah. So your relationship to the mayor. So the mayor is appointed by the people and you're appointed by the council.
Yes.
Is that
that's
right?
Correct.
Okay. So that's the difference.
It is. And the mayor in a strong mayor form of government, he makes the day-to-day decisions and he's the chief operating officer, mm-hmm. chief executive officer, but we don't have that. So like I said, his responsibilities and roles are the same as the rest of the council members, except he physically sets the agenda.
Got it.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned that term strong mayor a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're not implying that our current mayor
is a
weak mayor. Just so everyone has clarification.
You know, I guess the best example is post 9/11, Giuliani went around town doing things, fixing things.
Yeah.
He didn't have to go back to the rest of the council. He didn't have to go through a city manager. That's a strong mayor form of government. Basically.
It's more of an industry term than a qualification.
Our mayor is very strong
himself,
and does a tremendous job.
Yeah, and I just wanted to. I knew that, but I wanted to have clarification.
Well, and I wanted
everybody
to have clarification too, because as I said, job security is important.
So. It is important. Yes.
Yeah. So it's an industry term. It's not.
No, not at all. Not
your view
characterization
on our current mayor and council, exactly right. Obviously.
Yeah. So what are you guys seeing in the industry? Are things slowing down any, or is it still?
Maybe just a hair, but really, I mean, we're still in a pretty strong real estate market here in the Prescott area,
definitely.
For sure.
Definitely feel like things are still moving. Even with that increase in interest rate, we still are seeing buyers that need homes, and new construction is in full swing. So thanks partly to the mayor.
Yeah.
We have a lot of options to look at. So that's great.
You know, I don't want to twist the show around, but you know, one thing we struggle with as a city is affordable housing. And we see a tremendous amount of California escapism that I think drives the market up. Is that a fair characterization?
That's a very fair characterization.
A lot of cash coming through from California.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have, you know, quote unquote, as I've heard it referred to as by many of our citizens, foreign cash, and they're referring to that as California cash.
Yeah.
You know, it can tip the scales a little bit.
Yeah, I've noticed there's a huge apartment complex coming in off of Miller Valley. I've seen all of the road construction pulling in utilities from the street there. Do you know when that's going to be done? Do you have any?
At the pace they're moving, that's probably about a year.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have some rental properties. I mean, you guys are in the industry every day. There seems to be a lack thereof, specifically in the city of Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's somewhat driven by, you know, the increase in sale price.
Yeah.
You know, it's pushed some of our buyers out of the affordability range for purchase. So they are moved into a rental situation. You know, and so having something that is affordable is good, but it's also important, I think, to maintain a healthy balance, because home ownership rates are directly tied to just the quality of life in any given city.
It's very true.
Yeah. So what are some things that you see in the next 5 years that will impact our growth in Prescott? It'll obviously affect the real estate market, but what are some things that you guys are working on right now that we should be aware of, that we should kind of keep tabs on, that is directly correlated with that?
Sure. One thing I've focused on, I've been on the job just a little over 2 years, is to try to get a broader, I would even characterize it, better job opportunities for folks. And we are really blessed, in my opinion, to have three institutes of higher learning here between Embry-Riddle, Prescott mm-hmm. College, and Yavapai. And really, I don't think they compete. I think they complement each other very well.
Mm-hmm. And they're three very different institutions.
They are, and their student bodies are different. And we're trying to do things as a city to facilitate trying to keep some of the students that come here to get educated here. One thing I'm really excited about, are you guys familiar with the Eviation project at all?
No.
Okay. Eviation is a Israeli-based electrical airplane company.
Okay.
Yeah. Electric airplanes.
Yes. They are very much like the Tesla type idea for airplanes. And
all right.
They are collaborating with Embry-Riddle on research and development to bring a prototype of an electric airplane to the Paris Air Show in the summer of 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. That's and quick. They are already in the process of negotiating with the city to rent some hangar space to work on some of the prototype elements. And then post the Paris Air Show, they want to bring all of their manufacturing here to Prescott.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting. It's
those are typically higher, it sounds like they'd be higher paying jobs, and you know, we have a lot of employment opportunities in retail and service industries here, but that's one complaint that we certainly do hear on a regular basis, is that there's not a lot of room to grow from that.
Right, and this company has the potential, they won the Wall Street Journal Startup of the Year for 2016. The CEO, Omer Yahe, came just recently to visit with me, and the Riddle collaboration is really working well on the research development. And the other nice thing is, as I alluded to some of the other institutes of higher learning, Yavapai College and CTEC are going to help with component construction and 3D printing. So this specific company has the potential to be several hundred employees in the next 2 to 3 years, making really good wages, doing interesting work.
That's so tremendous.
Yeah,
that's
really awesome. It's really exciting. And one of the things that I want to complement and supplement that with is a lot of these people that I think we're going to try to attract and keep are interested in downtown living.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys could speak to this better than I can. I think we could have a really good market for downtown living if we had the right product.
I agree. Yeah. An expansion of condos downtown, expansion of, you know, a lot more above business living space.
Yeah, and we're trying to make the atmosphere better for downtown living. I don't know how familiar you guys are with the Granite Creek Corridor revitalization. You know, we have this really great water in the middle of the desert passing through the middle of town. And for those of you who are familiar mm-hmm. with places like San Antonio, the riverfront concept really is a good idea, green space. And I don't feel like right now the way our Granite Creek Corridor is, people feel safe walking down there.
I agree.
Fair assessment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to spend some time opening it up. We've spent a lot of discussions with some of the merchants that have back porches there, like Barry Barr at mm-hmm. El Gato Azul, about the idea mm-hmm. of him opening up his back space, having fencing that connects look and feel all the way from Barry's all the way up to Granite Creek Park. And have that be a pedestrian corridor, because I think when people look at downtown living, they want to have the ability to be able to come and go walking and biking, so it all goes together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having some walkability to living downtown, you know, which is largely absent right now.
Right, and along those lines, are you guys familiar with what we're doing with Hilton Garden Inn or the Granite Creek Park? Have you guys heard any of that? I'm really excited about this project. at the corner of Montezuma and Sheldon, you know, across the street from...
where there's a city parking lot there now.
Yep. We have a deal in place with Hilton Garden Inn to build a new Hilton Garden Inn that's going to go at that location. And also, on the north side of the Hilton Garden Inn, we are going to redo that whole area in green space, and we're going to have a splash pad for kids and a playground for kids. And we're also talking to the farmers market. They're going to move their location from Yavapai College to this location as a kind of a downtown gathering space. Also, have you been in the Sam Hill hardware store? It's owned by Prescott College.
Actually, when I was a younger man, we used to have put on concerts there.
It's a cool venue.
Almost every Friday night, I've played there many times. It's one of my favorite pieces of Prescott.
Well, let me tell you what's cool about this is the Hilton Garden Inn guys are going to take that over for convention and conference space, buy it from Prescott College, and Prescott College is going to expand their campus from Grove Avenue all the way behind Sam Hill Hardware with green space and pedestrian corridor.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and all of that is pretty much a done deal, and we're going to be putting it in front of God and Country in January.
Okay, wow. So we should be looking for that.
That's really cool. Like I said, that's coming one month.
Wow.
Yeah, I have very fond childhood, well, not childhood, but my teenage years memories. They said local bands would put on concerts at the Sam Hill Warehouse every weekend almost.
Well, and the Hilton Garden Inn proprietors are going to redo the train trestle.
Awesome.
In partnership with the city, and they're going to link their hotel over the train trestle to the Sam Hill Hardware, and then behind it will be Prescott College's expansion and the farmers market.
That's so really fantastic.
Those types of redevelopment opportunities should help steer people to wanting to live downtown, I would hope.
Absolutely.
Does that make some
sense?
I, for one, am really happy to hear that train trestle will be maintained, and it'll still be there.
And the cool thing about the splash pad is going to be railroad themed. So it's going to basically be like one of those big buckets you see at the train tracks. And kids can get dunked into under that. And the playground's also going to be railroad themed. So you'll have all of it tied into the railroad history.
Oh, that's really cool.
Prescott. So
that's really cool.
Oh, a lot more pedestrian friendly.
Yeah. And, you know, if you have that at the northern terminus and you can walk the Granite Creek corridor all the way to El Gato Azul and feel comfortable and safe, that'll be fun for people downtown.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. What about our terminal with the contract with United?
Yeah.
And I really want to touch on that because I've seen online you guys have been trying to raise money towards a goal. I think you've reached like 8,000.
We have. In 4 months, we've had
8,000
employments, which is basically passengers and what have you. If we get to 10,000 by the end of this month, we'll secure $1 million a year in federal subsidies and assistance going forward as long as we reach 10,000. And I think we're going to get there. The projections based on the employments for the rest of the month that we're seeing are about 80 to 90% load factor, which basically means the planes are basically 80 to 90% full.
Okay.
They said for a new market, we're basically killing it versus what other communities have done with new markets.
That's
LA,
great.
The plane flights to LA are almost full. The plane flights to Denver are almost full. And we also believe that we've secured a significant amount of FAA funding for a new terminal that'll actually break ground in September, October. So again, this isn't something that's far out. This is something that we're looking at doing in the next year. So literally a year from now, you could have the Hilton Garden Inn started and moving because they would like to start construction in February or March and the beginning of a new terminal project, which I would hope would help with the real estate market for you guys.
Of course, yeah.
They're correlated.
Yep.
I mean, if you can get out of Prescott
you're
easily.
You're making it easier to get here. You're making it easier to stay here,
yep.
You know, while you're shopping for a home, if that's what you're up to when you visit. And
you could, right now the planes are so full that the price point's a little high, but I mean, up a couple weeks ago, you could get flights to LA for like $105, which, you know, when you figure in driving, it's probably 601 and you don't have to pay to park. So
yeah, you don't have to pay to park. It's about the same price to drive to LA, but you don't have to drive to LA.
That's a good point.
Driving to LA can be an unpleasant experience.
So let me ask you something, guys. You know, you've probably been following a little bit about this Arizona Eco and the project in the Dells. Did people ask you about it? Are you hearing anything about it?
Almost every day.
All the time. They want to know what the impact is going to be, if it's going to be annexed into Prescott. Have they made a decision yet?
Where's the water going to come from?
Oh, I know. The water.
The water.
You know, this is going to probably shock you guys unless you follow this really closely. The water going through our system today is exactly the same as it was 10 years ago. Isn't that a little hard to fathom, right?
It really is. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't believe you, but it is hard to wrap your head around.
Okay, well, absolutely. You guys probably see this, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it because it's not really a sexy thing to think about, but, you know, the changes in, like, toilets and shower heads and those types of things, the water efficiency of new construction is so much... has so big of an impact on water conservation and water consumption. Like, here's a good example, and these are things I didn't realize until I started looking at it really close. The shower heads that are put in now basically are 2 gallons per minute. About 2 or 3 years ago, the average shower head was 2.5 gallons per minute. Well, the larger states like Texas, New York, California went to a mandate of 2 gallons per minute shower heads. Well, the Home Depots and the Lowe's of the world didn't want to stock two types of shower heads. So everybody in Arizona, now if you go to Lowe's, you get a 2 gallon per minute shower head. Nobody ever sat and figured out how do you quantify the amount of water you're saving if it's 0.5 gallon per minute per shower for every new construction since a certain day.
Or every new shower head purchased.
You're exactly right. That's been retrofit. Yeah, because if... and. The best conservation measures you see now are cities that are giving away toilets and shower heads. Because,
interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? It is kind of interesting. And the same thing happened with toilets. The toilets, California and New York, again, went to these low flow flush toilets. Again, Lowe's and Home Depot didn't want to stock two different kinds.
So everything's 1 gallon.
Yes, exactly. So there's all this water that would have normally gone through the system 10 years ago in Arizona that's not going through the system. So in a lot of ways, those are the types of things that get us to the same amount of water usage 10 years ago that nobody's ever sat and thought about.
No, it makes a whole lot of sense now that you say it out loud like that.
Mm-hmm. So with water, though, I've been under the impression that we have plenty of water.
We do.
Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we have, from like 1998, we have the ability to, not the ability, we have the legal right to pump like 16,000 acre feet of water, which is a lot of water. Our actual pumping today is 6,700.
Wow, okay.
So we have the ability to double our usage and still be under the threshold approved by ADWR.
Of 100 years?
100-year guarantees.
100-year, okay.
And we need to explain that to the public. See, this is the other thing that's a little bit disingenuous about the water debate. We're in an active management area, and we're in the active management area with Prescott Valley and Dewey and Chino and the unincorporated. Mm-hmm. Everybody else does something with water conservation, but nobody's really doing it as well as Prescott. Mm-hmm. So that's not us patting ourselves on the back. It's just good stewardship over the period of time. It's we have a lot more new construction, yada, yada, yada. We're in better shape with our water portfolio than people realize. And we need to explain that to the public because I think there's a lot of misinformation about there that we're drying up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking specifically for the city of Prescott. I'm not speaking for the rest of the management area. I'm just talking about what I can control because the city of Prescott's water system is the city of Prescott and a little bit in the unincorporated, but not very much.
Okay.
So back to Arizona Eco. I think the city council and I have heard the public very loud and clear that we want to have a sizable open space element in the Dells.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are iconic. They do represent the city in a lot of respects, and we want to have the public have more access to them, but they're privately held. See, that seems to be the thing that people seem to forget, is we don't really own much out there. We own what we own. We don't any more. Yeah. So, as we work with Jason Giese and the Arizona Eco guys, we've told them we want to have a sizable open space element, but the more open space he gives us, the less that means he can build. So we have to reach some reasonable compromise on it.
What does sizable mean to you?
Hundreds of acres.
Hundreds of acres. Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty vague open number. But have you spent much time out there, Carissa?
I have. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Mountain biking and just appreciating the area. But absolutely.
Being in the real estate business, you guys know that if you look out past the Peavine and the Iron King, that's all private land.
And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you get off of it, you're really trespassing. So anything we can get from Jason as a offer of good faith or to meet the requirements of the community that gives more access into those areas, I think the better for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, my personal bent is always going to lean toward the property owners.
Yeah, theirs.
It's not because I'm a evil, greedy real estate agent. The fact of the matter is that if somebody owns some land, as long as they follow the laws and guidelines that are in place, they can do with it as they
That's
please.
Exactly right. And anything we can negotiate on behalf of the community that's
in
bonus. Is value added.
Yeah.
And that's what mm-hmm. we're trying to do. So mm-hmm. I do think it belongs in Prescott. If we can reach a reasonable compromise, I want it in Prescott. I think the development patterns in Prescott are better than if it's in the unincorporated county, where you could have a wildcat subdivision that's just kind of laid out willy-nilly. I don't think anybody really thinks that's a good idea. And when you talk about water conservation, the best thing for this project is to be on a city water system and a city wastewater system and not on wells and septic tanks.
So well, it brings more regulation. It gives the city some opportunity to regulate the water usage.
Amen.
Well, and that's actually something I had a little bit of a question about, is you annex that in. Where are you at in that process with that discussion?
I've had a lot of one-on-one conversations with the developer, Mr. Giese, and he submitted a plan. And obviously there's been a lot of community dialogue about his plan. And he's heard it, and I've heard it. And where we are is he's looking at his plan to see if there's a way that's mutually beneficial to tweak it and bring it forward once it's been tweaked. That's where we're at this point.
Okay. And when does he have to present that to you? When does that change?
You know, normally what you would do is he would present a plan. It would come before the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission would give a recommendation to City Council. Because this is so large in scope and size, he and I have sat around the table and talked about maybe what a give and take would look like. Because one of the things I'm trying to avoid is, if Jason's plan is going to change some, let's not have a bunch of community consternation and anger and angst over something that's actually not going to be built.
Okay.
Does that make mm-hmm. any... And so there's a lot of this dialogue going on between he and I, and he's heard the community, and I think he's willing to look at his plan a little bit more, but he's not going to put it out in front of God and country until we're to a point that we both feel like it's the right thing to move forward with.
Okay.
So that's really not a, there's really not a timeline
not really.
With regards to that.
No.
Until you guys feel comfortable enough to present it, basically.
Yeah. I mean, this does go a little bit different than a lot of other projects, but I think it's in the best interest because, I mean, you guys were here last summer when we had 1,200 or 1,400 people showing up at city council meetings mm-hmm. about what this is going to look like and how important the Dells are. If we can reach some reasonable compromise before starting that again, I think it's in the best interest of the community.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, that's all we can ask for. I mean, I think giving them as much information as you can, when you can, is I think what everybody wants. they just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and you know, I get that, but you guys know this too. If you put all the negotiations in front of everybody, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, it's not their decision to make.
No, it really is his.
Yeah.
And our part is how it's going to look, and we want it in the city to look the best way and feel the best way as possible. And I think we're going to get there. I really do. And I think we're going to get there in the not so distant future, next couple months.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for giving us and everybody else an update.
Yeah. I know it's
definitely
on
a hot button.
It is a hot button issue, and the water is going to be a big part of that discussion too. You know, coming from the East Coast and Florida and Georgia, you know, one of the best ways to protect open space is to cluster development and to have higher density. You guys probably realize that too from a real estate perspective.
The denser the homes are, the less open space they're taking up.
That's exactly right. But I think out west, there's a lot of give me land, lots of land, you know?
Yeah, we're used to having elbow room
and
here in the west.
It's harder to get your arms around that, but
for sure.
There are ways you can increase density in exchange for open space, especially if it's going to be public access open space.
Yeah.
So is there any other projects that are just coming up that you can talk about that maybe we haven't heard of? Anything else that's on the horizon that is going to be a hot topic in 2019?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question. It's hard to tell. You know, we're going to have an election year, and we have three council members and the mayor up for re-election. I think the conversation surrounding Arizona eco and water are kind of going to drive the train for a little while. You know, it's funny, I'm not on Facebook, but I lurk on other people's Facebook page every once in a while, and you guys probably see this too. There's a lot of this, I came here, please put the wall and fence up because I don't want anybody else
right.
here.
I moved here now, close the gate behind me.
And I think we need to have a better dialogue about how that's just not realistic.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
And I don't know how that dialogue starts, but maybe the city has some role in that, because everything that attracted you here is going to be here for the next guy, right? I mean,
yes.
So every reason you moved out of Orange County, California, is your neighbor's going to have the same incentives to do it. And you just need to understand that and accept that and manage the growth in the best way possible. But this mentality that it's just going to stop and we're going to do something to make it all go away, it's just not realistic.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I think they're coming anyway, so let's make the best plan possible around that.
Amen.
They're coming. We can talk about how unfair it is or whatever else, but they're coming.
and they're very important to our economic growth
they
as a
are.
Community.
And
they come here with this great thing called money.
Yeah, it's
that they inject into our local economy.
That's exactly right. And here's another thing. I've lived in cities. If you don't grow, you die. At some point, if you don't, and I'm not saying it needs to be unchecked growth or something that's not sustainable, but if you aren't growing as a community and diversifying your workforce, which is something we're trying to work on, communities die.
So besides the Israeli electric plane company, is there any other people that are courting Prescott? Do you have anybody else?
Actually had a couple other entities approach us about higher paying jobs. We've talked about something called an innovation and incubation center out at Emory Riddle at some point, where maybe some spin-offs and startups that come out of that university stay here. That's a project that we're working on trying to bring to fruition. There's a lot of moving parts on that. And also, I think that there's an opportunity for the two-year community college graduates to find positions here in light manufacturing and the like. We're trying to have that more sustainable. I think with the airport's expansion and new terminal construction, a lot of the sites out at the airport will probably have a better marketability than they've had before. So we're trying. None of these things happens overnight, but we really are trying.
But we want them now.
I know you do.
So, all right. No, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
It's been a pleasure to meet you and chat with you.
And you know, we had talked off mic briefly about having you come back and doing a live Q&A. So
yeah, man. If you guys think that'd be interesting to the public, and I'd be glad to.
Yeah, and if there's anything you want to plug, I know you have open office hours.
I do Facebook Live open office hours from 4 to 6, the first Wednesday of the month, and I do live in person office hours at the library from 4 to 6, the third Wednesday of the month.
Awesome.
And they've been interesting. I get questions and visitors from all over the place about all kinds of things. One guy thought I should solve the contrail problem. I guess contrails behind airplanes steal people's souls, and that's part of the city manager's job. So, in case you want,
interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too.
If you could get
to work on restoring the curvature of the earth, that'd be
great. That I'm going to work on that too. I had another guy come in, and there was a TV in the room, and he called me in the hallway, and he said, "You know, they can hear you through there." And I said, "Who's?" And then I realized what I was dealing with. And he said,
the ever present.
Yeah.
Day.
So not that everybody that comes is wacky, but some of them are.
So. Mm. Well, awesome. It takes all time.
Yeah, fun times.
Right? Yeah. I mean, what is the most interesting question you've ever gotten? Besides, I mean, interesting, like a valid
like
question.
A valid,
yeah, a valid interesting question.
valid question.
Not contrails, soul stealing, and listening televisions.
I'm trying to think. I get a lot of questions about what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Is what's the appropriate way to balance our growth and development with keeping and preserving the interesting, dynamic hometown feel of the community?
Yeah, the Norman Rockwell painting.
Yeah.
Picture that a lot of people paint about our town.
And I think you can have the best of both worlds. You just have to be cognizant of your past while trying to better your future, as cheesy as that may sound to people.
So. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's about perfect.
Yeah.
So
hey guys, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
It was a pleasure meeting you. Yeah. And you guys have a good holiday season.
You do the same. All right. And until next time, I'm Kellen Hoskins. This is Carissa Maxwell. And have a wonderful holiday season. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.